For the rest of us, if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 18. We will not finish this message today. It'll take another week, so we'll be doing part 2 of this message next week, I'm sure. Well, unless the Lord returns or something. I guess I'm not totally sure, am I? None of us are. But my intention is to finish this message next week. I want to talk to you about the fact that decision determines our destiny. The decisions that we make determine our destiny. So that's what we want to talk about today, and again next week, because I know we won't get finished. I got a lot of material. Don't confuse this fact with karma. Okay? That's the wrong religion. We're not talking about karma. We are talking about the decisions that we make determining the destination that we have in our life. Ruth 1, beginning to read in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dad and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you would move on our hearts today, that you would open our understanding, that, Lord, you would give us conviction and encouragement to live out our lives according to your statutes. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Ruth was written during difficult days. There was apostasy, anarchy, and famine in the land. Does at least some of that sound familiar? You guys do realize if we stay on the course we are on, we will see major famine in this country as well as around the world, right? Have you been to the grocery store and checked out the price of eggs lately? Have you been to the grocery store and looked for this or that and can't find it? What about baby formula?
Yeah.
What about baby food? Predicting shortages of baby food as well. It's all created by men. All this is created by men. God's not doing this to us. Man is causing all these problems. So, just like in Ruth's day, we're kind of in the same kind of situation. Our nation is rampant with apostasy. There are so many people that have turned away from the truth of God and turned to myths and all kinds of things other than God. In Judges 21, verse 25, it says, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." That sounds to me kind of like having an absent president, doesn't it? Doesn't or doesn't it? And everybody has turned to their own way. I say everybody, it's not everybody. There is a remnant that God has reserved for himself. Praise God for you. Because if you're here today, you're hungry for the word, right? Isn't that true? You're here today because you are hungering to hear the word of God. That's why you're here. Or you wouldn't be here. Because I'm not a pastor that every week tries to figure out how I can preach another feel-good message. I'm not that guy. So people that are looking for a morning of backslapping and being told how good they are, those people don't come to this church very long. They come in, they check it out, and they're like, "That's not for me," and then leave. But the people that hang out are people that are hungry for God's word. Can I get a witness? The book of Ruth brings bright hope for dark days. The story of Ruth is a redemptive story, so it is good news. Ruth is an Old Testament picture of the church. Can you see why God's led me to turn to this? And I haven't preached in this passage. I looked when I did last time. It was 9 years ago. 9 years ago was the last time I preached in this passage. So Ruth is an Old Testament picture of the church, while Boaz is a picture of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we find ourselves in a time of darkness, trouble, or despair, then Jesus Christ can be to us what Boaz was to Ruth. The first chapter of Ruth tells of choices made and their consequences. First major point we want to look at is the principle of a willing choice. Our Creator gave us a free will, which means we have the freedom to choose. God, when He created man and then woman, did not create us like robots. He never created us like robots. He doesn't make us do anything. He woos us. He draws us to Himself. But He doesn't make us do anything. He has given every one of us a free will, and He will never violate that free will. He gave us instruction in His Word that we should do our best to live by. Why? Oh, just so He can be in charge? No. To protect us. He gave us statutes. He gave us instruction in His Word to live by, to protect us, literally, from ourselves. Because when we violate the map for life that God put in His Word, we are missing out on the best that God has for His people and His creation. It's why it's such a horrific thing for people to come to the place where there is no regard for life and people are willing to kill their babies. It's why since 1973, we have literally been under a form of a curse in this nation, because that is where we legalized and made the law of the land, made it legal to kill babies in the womb. And you can't do that and get away with it without there being problems down the road. You can't do it. But God gave us a free will, so this has happened. How about what we read about people turning to their own devices? There was no leader. There was no leader. There was no king. So they turned to their own ways. I just read it. Okay? They turned to their own ways, and they did whatever they thought was right. Each person did whatever they thought was right and wouldn't listen to anyone. Well, I'm here to tell you, we've got a king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we got to get back to Him and fall on our faces and repent, because Jesus Christ is returning one day for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And when He comes back for that bride, if we're not living according to His statutes, we're not going to go with Him. It's the way it is. God is God. People have come to the place where they think God's commandments are just suggestions. They're not suggestions, guys. They're commandments, because He commanded them. And yes, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ. But we can't use that for an excuse to just say, I'm going to live however I want to because I'm a sinner anyway. That don't get it. God knows our hearts, and He knows when we are truly doing our best to live according to His statutes. And Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap for the things that we are not able, where we just can't be good enough. None of us is good enough, right? We are saved by grace through faith. That in and of itself. Not that any man should boast. But that's not an excuse to live life loose and haphazard. That's not it. That's not it, guys. And when people in a nation consistently violate God's commandments, God's commandments tell us a lot of things. One of the things it tells us is, thou shalt not murder. recently because of what's happening with our Supreme Court. I'm seeing all these women standing with their signs and picketing all over the country and saying, "We have rights!" Yeah, but you don't have a right to kill. I still maintain that this has been the stupidest thing since 1973, and anybody that believes that murdering a child in the womb is justified is absolutely out of their minds. And if you're here today and you think I'm wrong, tough luck. No apologies, because God's word makes it clear, and I won't apologize for it. Murder is murder. But you turn on the TV, you look on the internet, whatever, you see women standing there saying, "My body, my right." Well, right there, that person just told me that they are unsaved. Because if it's still your body, then you have not sold out to Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you invite Him into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. That means my body is no longer mine and your body is no longer yours. You have sold out to Jesus Christ. Am I telling the truth this morning?
Yes.
So when a person says, "My body, my right," then what they are saying is, "I'm lost. Because I'm still in charge of my own life." And a person that is still in charge of their own life is lost. Because if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, which He needs to be, then we're not in charge of our own body anymore. God made it simple. He told us straight. But man's always trying to tweak things. Or woman. When I speak of man, biblically when it speaks of man, it's speaking of both gender. When God created man, right? Another thing that makes this really stupid is for 49 years, it's been the law of the land, it's been legal to kill your baby in the womb. And nobody pays for doing for being murdered. The doctor doesn't pay for it. It's not murder. The mother doesn't. The father doesn't. No, nobody pays the price for it in this earth. But what about him? What about in the afterlife? Oh, decision determines our destiny. Okay? And if you're here today, and somewhere along the way, you were between a rock and a hard place, and if you had an abortion, I in no way am trying to cut you to pieces. What I am trying to do is drive you to repentance. There is forgiveness for us for whatever we have done, including abortion in the past when we didn't know better. But it's time to know better. Okay? What I started to say is the thing that's really, another thing that's really stupid about it is the same governing people that said it's fine to kill that baby in the womb is the same people that convict people for a double homicide when a woman that's pregnant is killed. You can't have it both ways! If it's wrong on this side, it's wrong on this side. If it's right on this side, it's right on this side. You cannot have it both ways. It's insanity. Can I get about 140 witnesses in here, please?
Amen.
God's Word. See, we got a problem when we start off sentences or start off thoughts that we're going to share with someone when we start off saying, I think. You want to know the truth at the end of the day? It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. It matters what God's Word says. Because God's Word is always right. And we start getting into, I'll quote Joyce Meyer, stinking thinking. That's where we get ourselves all messed up. Amen? So our Creator, our God, gave us a free will, and He gave us the freedom to choose. But we are held responsible for the choices that we make. That's why we can say and be standing on solid ground, the choices that we make now determine our destiny. Let me take it a step further, guys. It not only determines our destiny, but it influences the destiny of our children and our children's children. Oh, Pastor Wayne, how can you say that? The sins of the fathers are passed down to the second and third generation of those who hate me, he said. But His blessings are passed down to 1,000 generations of those who love Him. That's what the Word says. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. What matters is, what does the Word of God say? We've got to get back to the basics. We Americans need to get back to God and back to knowing what the Word of God says and trying to live out what the Word of God requires. God has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill what the Word of God requires in our lives. What more could He do? He provided our Savior. Because we couldn't save ourselves. None of us could be good enough. So He provided a Savior. His name is Jesus. And then through accepting Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then He gives us His Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill what the Word of God requires. That's powerful, guys. He's done everything. All we got to do is surrender to Him. He's provided everything for us. If we'll just surrender to Him. And therein is the problem. Most people, even ones that profess to be Christian, do not really want to surrender their whole life to God. Still have a mentality of, it's my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to. See, that is totally the wrong attitude. Again, if you have invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior, then it's no longer your life. You've given it over to Jesus Christ for Him to live His life in you and through you. Am I making sense to somebody? See, we got to get back to basics, guys. As believers in this country, we have got to get back to the foundation, these foundational truths. Without our nation getting back to these foundations, there is no hope. Now that being said, if you've been around here a while, you know that I know in my knower that God is intervening. But what I've been waiting for is to see this awakening take place that drives people to their knees and on their faces in repentance. Because that has to happen, guys. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Salvation has to be accompanied by repentance. It has to be that way. The Word of God makes that abundantly clear. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Medea calls it Deuteronomo. Am I right? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Guys, that's a pretty sobering verse, isn't it? Listen to what that verse says. I mean, really, really get that down in your heart. He sets before us life and death, blessings and curses. In other words, make wise decisions. Make the right decisions. Make godly decisions. Don't make decisions just based on past experience. Past experience can be valuable, right, in making wise choices. But don't just lean on past experience. Lean on God. Seek after God for His wisdom in all our decisions. It's a must, or we're going to misstep. And when we misstep, we alter our destiny. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for every one of our lives. God has a plan to do things in you and through you that are way beyond what you can even imagine or think, because He loves us. But He needs a vessel that is willing to let Him be God and let Him take over our lives. He has to have a vessel that's obedient. Obedience is something that people don't even want to hear that word today. You talk about obedience and immediately whoever you're talking to, they're going to start making excuses. Our economy's gone off a cliff. But our so-called president says it's not his fault. Really? A year and a half ago, we were in the best economy we've ever had in this country. But it's not my fault. Come on now. Let's tell the truth. It's not rocket science. Look at the numbers. The stats don't lie, guys. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, God says. Now choose life. Choose life. Woman who has gotten pregnant, choose life. There is a list 100 miles long of people that want to adopt children. Choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life. God's desire for us is to choose life. To choose wisely in all the decisions we make. I feel led to talk about this a little bit. There are two specific trees in the garden. One is referred to as the tree of life. The other one is referred to as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me? Adam and Eve were told to not take from the tree in the middle of the garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, "For when you do, you will surely die." Just like kids, tell them they can't do something, they're going to do it. Right? So what they do, Eve's chucking on over there, checking that tree out, and Adam's up there behind her. Should have been saying, "Let's get out of here." Yeah. "Come on, baby, let's get out of here." This is going to lead to trouble. But he didn't. She took of the fruit, she took a bite, and she passed it to him, and he took a bite as well. Am I telling you the truth? And so then all of a sudden, instead of living in the tree of life, they were living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil leads to death. I've taught on this before. It's a lot more in depth than what I'm sharing with you now. I'm just hitting the surface. Maybe after all these years, I need to actually teach on this again. Because this is very important. See, the tree of life, if they had stayed eating from the tree of life, there would have never, ever been any sickness. There would have never been any death. Adam and Eve were created, their bodies had the capacity to live forever. That's way beyond Adam's 930 years. Adam lived to be 930. I can't even get my mind around living that long. I'm just coming up on 65, and I got so many aches and pains now, I'm like, 930 years! It's not like it used to be, you know what I'm saying? So they were created to live forever. They took of the tree that they were told not to take of, because when they did, they would surely die. Well, they took a bite and, oh, I'm still standing here. Well, he didn't say that death was going to come immediately. Sin entered the earth. Then what happens? They have offspring. Cain and Abel. One brother invites the other brother out to the field because he's not liking him much and kills him. Because sin entered the world because of one act of disobedience when Adam and Eve went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and did eat. Death entered the world, and that's what we're dealing with today. We have a choice every day. This is where I'm going with this, guys. Listen to me. We have a choice every day of our lives with every decision we make. We need to stop and think, okay, if I make this choice, am I choosing to live in the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or if I make this choice, am I making the decision to live in the tree of life? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This is really important. It's truth, guys. Every decision we make, we need to ask ourselves this. Is this a decision, if I make it this way, that I'm living in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that leads to death? Or am I making a decision that leads to life, living in the tree of life? Boy, it's quiet in here. I got you all thinking, don't I? That's good. That's good. I want you to think about it after we leave here. Every decision we make, we've got to ask ourselves, is this going to lead to death or is this going to lead to life? Because every decision I make determines my destiny. Every decision we make. We are not free to make no choice. When we make no choice, we make a choice. There are people that say, well, I know what I'll do in dealing with this whole dilemma with Jesus. I just won't make a choice at all. Then I can't be guilty of it. Now, to not make a choice is to make a choice. Jesus said, and I quote, if you are not with me, you are against me. Not a good place to be, being against Jesus. That is a very bad place to be.
That's right.
Okay? Now I want you to understand something. What I told you from Genesis that happened, what I recapped with you very quickly, about the two trees. Jesus Christ, when he paid the price for sin and rose again from the dead, he opened the way to the tree of life for us again. The way to the tree of life had been closed down for all that time. I'm telling you the truth, guys. It's in the Bible. Remember what God did after he spoke the curses over Adam and Eve about what would be? Okay? And then he did what? What did he do at the gate to the garden? Put flaming swords, right? He put flaming swords to keep people from having access to the tree of life, because he said we can't any longer let them have access to the tree of life, because if we do, they're going to live forever in this state. You understand what I'm saying? So he closed the way. But when Jesus Christ paid the price for sin, he opened the way to the tree of life again. That's how in Christ we have eternal life. We have eternal life through Christ because he restored the way to the tree of life again so that we could live forever. That way was closed all this time, flaming swords. Read it, guys. When you get home today, read it. Look this up. I'm telling you the truth. I want you to know. I want you to know from the Word. But if I took the time, see, we're way beyond what time I thought I was going to spend, because see, none of this, I knew I was going to preach to you today. So if this keeps happening, it might take 3 weeks to preach this message. But that's all right, because we want to be in God's will, right? And if God wants you to understand this stuff today, then far be it from me to say, oh no, I got to stick to my notes here, God. After all, I prepared all this. God's got to have his way. How many of you are hearing this about the two trees for the first time? It's the first time you've been under the teaching. One? Most of you have had some. Okay, one. All right. Most of you then have had some teaching about the whole idea of the two trees. That's good. That's good. Well, you got a reminder today under God's direction. Some people say that they won't say yes or no to Jesus, that they simply will not make a decision about Jesus. But that in itself is a decision. To choose not to say yes to Jesus is to say no to Christ. Matthew 12 and verse 30. Matthew 12 and verse 30. That's the verse that I quoted earlier when I was on my rant. Or I should say one of the verses when I was on my rant. Matthew 12, 30 says, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Verse I quoted earlier. And in Luke 11, verse 23, says basically the same thing. Luke 11, Luke recorded it too. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It's recorded in Matthew and in Luke. Both of those authors made sure that they got it in their version of the gospel. Must be pretty important. We are not free to choose the consequences of our choice. We make our choice, and our choice chooses the consequences for us. Did you get that? We make a choice, and the choice that we make chooses our consequences. Well, people don't want to hear this stuff today, I'm telling you. They don't. Don't want to hear it, but it's true. Back to basics. I had a shop teacher when I was in high school. His name was Mr. Zonley. And he was a character. Did you have him? Was he still in there? Oh, just so you know, I got the Dutch Amble Award one year. If you remember what that was? Okay. Well, he was a unique individual. I loved him. I thought he was great. There were guys that couldn't use him. I just thought he was awesome, and it wasn't because he was easy on me. I wasn't easy on him either. But he used to say, the whole body suffers for what the dumb mind does. Now you think about that for a minute. And he didn't know the Lord. He wasn't saved. He was not a Christian. But he had that down, and he used to quote it pretty regularly. He'd look, shake his head. Somebody do something stupid in the shop. He'd shake his head. The whole body suffers for what the dumb mind does. It's kind of what we're talking about here. If he was here today, he'd be proud. He'd probably be like, yeah. Our choices bring consequences into our lives and also to the lives of those close to us. The decisions that we make also affect all of the people in our circle of influence. Let me break this down for you. Just so you've got the real reality of it. When a pastor falls, for example, to sexual sin, it affects the whole congregation, his whole family, everybody that knows him, everybody that even knows of them, it affects that many people. That's the way sin is. My sin, as I said earlier, affects my children and my grandchildren. It's a fact. Have you heard the term generational curses? You know what I'm talking about. Our sin affects those friends that we love. Process that for a minute. Sin in the decisions that we make affects a lot of people. A lot of people. And the bigger our circle of influence, the bigger the circle of people that get hurt through our sin. Am I making sense to you? So the more influence we have, the more opportunity there is to have negative influence on more people. Any question about why the devil works so hard to bring down people that have a lot of influence? Maybe remember when The Passion of the Christ came out. Help me out. Mel Gibson, that's it. It wasn't there. Mel Gibson. I shook his hand, by the way, one time. He was actually at a pastor's conference promoting his movie that before it even came out. And he first he walked past me, and then I went up there and I shook him. You know, he's only just a little guy about this big. Seriously. But look at how God used him. And he admitted in all the interviews, and he told us pastors, it was up in Colorado Springs, where we were at the time, at a pastor's conference. And he explained how he cried, and he just said, I had to do it. I had to make this movie. It's just God. He's on me, and I just had to do it. But isn't it interesting? That movie came out, it was a great success. When we went to the movie, you could have heard a pin drop when that movie was over. All you could hear was sniffles. Absolutely impacted everybody in the place. Not long after that, it's all over the tabloids. He got busted for OWI. It was a very short, how many of you remember that? Very short period of time. How many of you stopped to think about it at that point and think, boy, the devil's been after him because of what he did. He obeyed God and now the devil's after him. Listen, when you obey God, good for you, but look out. Because the enemy, when you get the enemy's attention, he's going to come after you to try to bring you down, to destroy your influence. Am I telling the truth? And guess what? We are the most vulnerable when we are in our mountaintop experiences. Because we're riding high and we got our chest poked out. If I could get rid of this belly, I'd do that for you. I got furniture disease, man. My chest fell into my drawers. Sometimes I just can't help myself. Are you guys getting this? Not about the chest falling into the drawer, but the other stuff. The stuff that matters. Is to say yes to Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That is, bar none, the number one most important decision we ever make in our lives. Everything else pales to that. Even my decision to marry the woman I married pales compared to the decision that I made to follow Christ. Y'all with me today? We learn something together? We get challenged? How many of you say, I needed this reminder about the decisions I made? Amen. Me too. It's good for me to go through this again too. Hallelujah. Well, I am going to quit there, guys. The plan is to pick up where I left off next weekend and do part two. We'll see what God leads, but I'm sure at some point we'll get to it if we don't next week, but my plan is to do it next week. Let's all stand together. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is so deep, so wide, so vast, and you are such an awesome God. And I just thank you, Lord, for sowing seed into our hearts today. I pray that, Lord, that I have heard you and acted properly to obey you in what we have learned together today in this message. I pray, Lord, as we leave this place, that you will protect us, that you'll bring us back safely next weekend for hopefully part two of this message. That, Lord, throughout this week, that we will ponder every decision that we make. Lord, which tree are we looking at here? And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just manifest your spirit in a mighty, mighty way to lead us throughout our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.